today, what are some of like the big, I don't want to call them pain points, but like the areas where you're looking to improve, or where, you know, are there challenges today? Like, what are you facing as a rent-to-own business?
Really is still the number one challenge is people. So what I tried to develop with our hiring process was the same as we do in marketing. So first off, it's got to be quick. It's got to be easy. They got to get the information they want in rent-to-own. You got to get the rental order filled and put them in the cart and get them to check out. Same thing happens in actually the hiring of people. It can't be a long, lengthy thing. You can't click 9 buttons. I mean, we've got to be engaged with them within minutes.
Welcome into the Independent Thinking Podcast. This is your host, Rob Stott. We are taking a dive into the world of rent-to-own this week on the Independent Thinking Podcast with Larry Carrico, the founder of RentOne, a business that was started by Larry and his wife back in 1985 with just a handful of years, as we come to learn, just a handful of years of experience in the rent-to-own business before he had the opportunity presented to him to jump into it in an ownership capacity with a couple of stores down in Alabama. And lo and behold, some almost 40 years later, growing that business from just one store, ends up being one store up to roughly 100 stores in about 8 states. And it's an incredible story, an incredible journey that Larry has been on, over those years, growing that business and navigating the rent-to-own world and everything that's involved, from the contracts to how he markets to his customers, to how he grows his team, to how he manages his stores, to everything he's done to build RentOne into what it is today, and beyond just the business too. You know, we get the chance this week to dive into a really cool story for Larry and the Nationwide team too, in terms of give back and an effort that was made with the Ronald McDonald House and in their local community to have a big impact on a new house going up in Larry's backyard, essentially, and dive into, what it means to own rent. Just a great story. So many aspects and avenues of the RentOne story to talk about with Larry and pick his brain, really. A guy that learned the business along the way early on to understand what rent to own really means and what it takes to be successful in this business to, like we said, grown it to 100 stores and nearly 10 states and having a successful rent-to-own empire under his belt. So we appreciate him taking that time and appreciate him sharing his story. So let's dive into it. This is Larry Carrico of RentOne here on the Independent Thinking Podcast. All right, we are back on the Independent Thinking Podcast and diving into the world of rent-to-own right now with Larry Carrico, founder of RentOne. Appreciate you joining us for a podcast today.
Yeah, well, thanks. Appreciate the opportunity. Guys have been great to us. We had some great things that went on to allow us to be able to help some of the charities, and one of them in particular, Ronald McDonald House. They're all over the world as far as that goes, but they were very instrumental in getting us the ability to help them out. So it was cool.
Absolutely. No, excited to dive into that with you. But I know we got a long list of stuff, a history to dive into with you guys. But before we even get to that, I know you you mentioned it before we hopped on, and this was news to me as we sat here. Is you guys got a podcast too? So tell me about that. You're like an expert. You're a pro at this. Is that what I understand?
No. My daughter's the pro at it. I just listen. I join every once in a while, but we have a platform that we do internally with the company called Haystack. And of course, these are posted on YouTube. But it allows us to share fun times. They're usually anywhere between 25 and 35 minutes. And talks about ways of doing better business and keeping the coworkers and engaged is really what it's about. We get a great response. We'll get, we have 700 employees, so we'll get 50, 100 sometimes just on there listening. And of course they report afterwards. So it's a lot of fun.
Absolutely. And that's like one of those things too. We started this for the member stories, right? We have so many members and being able to tell their stories and we've obviously talked to our own staff on it as well and vendor partners as well. So it's always unique to hear, like, one of the unintended benefits of it is that our employees, as we Nationwide's grown over the last few years, they use it as like almost onboarding, like listening to all of the things about who Nationwide is, if they're not familiar when they join, like what Nationwide does and who our members are. So it's like, it's cool that something like this, where it's just conversations between a couple people, has, you know, more in benefits to it than kind of what you guys set out to do with it initially. But I love that you guys have one, and that employees are using it, and it's a way to stay re-engaged.
Well, in the world kind of changed with COVID and stuff, so the communication levels became, you know, in a virtual spot where you weren't able to connect with people as much. And so they're used to doing this. This is kind of almost a must. And it allowed us to share information back and forth about what we do every day. And, you know, people want to work for people that they know what's happening. And podcast helps that. Of course, the book and things like that that we've created over the years really makes a big difference for people and engagement and the success of Rent One.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, it goes to proof too. You don't need to have like a Jason Kelsey, Travis Kelsey-esque podcast to have it be successful. You can have just a couple hundred listeners and, you know, its intended purpose is fulfilled. So, no, I love to hear that. And, hey, one podcast, even if you're only on it every once in a while, you're still a podcaster because you've done it. So one podcaster to another, happy to have you on and dive into, you know, the Rent One story today.
Cool.
Awesome. Well, let's start there. You know, I know you just, this should be like easy for you because you guys just got done writing a book about it, but like, let's dive into the history of Rent One and tell us sort of what those early days were like. 1985. Is that right?
Yep. Started back in 1985. I started my journey in the shoe business.
Okay.
So I worked for a company called Florshine, learned a lot of management stuff, and then I got into the rent-to-own business actually in about 1981 with another company. Worked for them for about 4 years, and then they decided, well, you know, we have some stores down in Muscle Shoals, Alabama, and Huntsville, Alabama, and said, Larry, would you like to purchase those? And I said, well, I don't really have any money. You know, you guys don't pay me enough, so how am I going to do that? You know how that goes.
Yeah.
So, humble beginnings. We was able to scrape together enough money to get, and back in those days, it was like the Transamerica, the finance people weren't banks. So rent-to-own was not seen as a, you know, mainstream place where banks wanted to loan money. Yeah. So you had to go to these guys that were charging you 5% over prime. And at that time, you know, prime was probably in the 13. Well, actually at one time it was 18%. So you're paying 23% interest. So people are moaning about 5.5 or 7.5 or 8%. But anyway, we made the purchase in Muscle Shoals, Alabama. We had two stores. And from there, we just kind of grew it. Basically, the same thing we're talking about was with people. You can't do anything without, you know, great team members. And so we had one store in Muscle Shoals and one in Huntsville. We sold the one in Huntsville because it was, you know, adversity. You had to go back and forth all the time. So I had this one store. Anyway, I paid back the lenders or paid most of it back. And he said, hey, we like it, you know. And so I bought the rest of the company. So the company that I worked for was struggling. And, you know, what I was able to do was to purchase I bought different levels of it, 10, 5, 7, 8, 10 stores at that time. And then we just grew it from 2 to over 100 now and kind of, you know, that's... it's not a lot when you look at 30 years or 35 years, 85, oh, hell, almost 40 years.
Right. Some growth right there. But, I love the, no matter what, whether it's, you know, traditional independent retail, rent to own, like the origin stories, right? The fact that, like, was this something, you know, back to your shoe shop, that, like, was this something you thought you'd get into? Was this the plan, or did you kind of fall into the world of rent-to-own?
Well, actually, you know, I became unemployed with the Florsheim Shoe Company.
Wow.
They said, well, we like you, Larry, but, you know, there's a whole story behind that. But anyway, I moved back to St. Louis, and I answered an interview, and they said, hey, we got this manager trainee position for you. You know, you've got a lot of, and hell, I was a general manager. I ran, you know, a lot of $4.5 million business in California for them. So I had a lot of experience. However, I didn't know nothing. I didn't even know what the hell rent-to-own was about. So anyway, they put me in, they called me an MIT and paid me $4 an hour. I was making more on unemployment from California than I was hourly to drive to a place to work. But anyway, that's kind of how I got started. I became an MIT and eventually fairly quickly, and within a couple months, I was a store manager and advanced through the ranks with them. And then again, they said, hey, we got this couple stores down in Alabama that aren't doing very well. You want to buy them? I'm like, what the hell do I want to buy them? I ain't got any money. I don't know. I was the one to open them up, you know? And so, hey, that's kind of how it worked. But it
No,
was a different thing.
that's awesome. Well, to grow to what it is today, we'll talk about the growth in a little bit, but kind of give that paint the picture of what the business is like today. You mentioned 100 stores, several states. I like almost 10, more than 10.
Yeah, we're in eight
Eight?
states
Okay.
now. Yeah. So I mean, it was hard because it was just
Yeah.
myself and my wife.
Yeah, it's
You
crazy.
weren't doing any revenue.
Yeah.
So, you know, back then it wasn't like stores were doing $1 million. We had
Right.
stores doing, you know, a couple $100,000. So, but we built it and we had trusted advisors. We had great vendors. We had, and really what our uniqueness was that we always believed in paying people back. And that kind of got to the point where that we continued to grow. And of course, vendors want to sell you, people
Right.
want to lease to you and stuff like that. It was just my wife and I. We had one kid. We had Steven. He's my oldest son. And then we had a daughter. So I had three kids in three states. So I quit moving. So I figured out what the problem was. I kept moving, right?
Gotta stay still.
Steve was born in Missouri, Nikki was born in Alabama, and then Kelly was born in Illinois. But that's we it was just her and I. We had this shitty apartment that was in, oh man, it was terrible. It was in Florence, Alabama. It had holes in the walls from the last guys
Wow.
that rented it. And but we made it. My wife worked side by side, her and I. Just kept renting and collecting and protecting. You know, that's how
That's
we kind of
awesome.
talk about it and rent down.
No, that's incredible. And what did you learn about the, I mean, obviously, getting involved in it and being able to have some experience in it before you go out and own, you get to learn a lot. But having not known what rent to own was until like now where you are today, what did you learn along the way about this business?
Well, there's two things. I didn't know anything when I first got into it, but I did know that the concept was cool because you were providing cold meal, clean clothes, good night's sleep, whatever. And we kind of immediately, not really immediately, but after a few years, we figured out we weren't selling washers and dryers, we were selling clean clothes. And when we found out that there was a matching need, that made a big difference. And so that's kind of how it worked. And it's just an alternative to financing. We had early payouts. And, you know, the big journey was over the years was understanding that you got to get better. So when it first started, you know, there was no disclosures. It was like the Wild Wild West. I think you were on Bonanza or something back in the early days. I mean, people just did all kinds of crazy stuff. But as long as you respected people, you collected properly and did all those things, you were successful. But it was quite the challenge because I didn't know anything about it. And then I found the mistakes. It was a learning experience from 81 to 85 before I grew owned the business because the people that were there were struggling. And one of the reasons where they were moving the ball a little bit and stuff, and it made it really difficult. I bought and sold probably 100 stores
Oh.
during that 4-year period.
Yeah.
So I knew how to open them, I knew how to close them, and I knew how to sell
No, that's awesome.
them. And that was kind of important.
Well, and then too, you mentioned the people obviously having a focus on I imagine building strong teams that are bought into a company culture and want to grow with you, right? So what along the way to get to 100 stores today, do you think it was that helped you to get to that, to where you are today?
Well, I think there was a couple things. Number one was the ability to understand the financing part of it. How do you grow the business? How do you do that? But number two, which is probably even more important, was the people, like you said. So the Zig Ziglars of the world, the Dale Carnegies, we always look for outside training, and that's one of the things that we're continuing to do today. And so being able to understand, have great team members. And it comes and goes. And we had a very, you know, we still have guys that have been working for me from day one, you know.
Wow.
And, you know, we have five or six of them. Just had a guy retire that was actually buys from you guys too, as well, from Rent Direct and Nationwide over the years. So it kind of
Yeah.
changes, but that's exactly how it worked, was the people and then being able to make sure that you were trusted to borrow the money or to pay the money back. And that was the two things that got us to where we were at today.
Gotcha. But what about obviously like retail and rent to own technologies that supporter and are around this business evolve. Obviously it doesn't look the same today as it did in 1985, but as far as the heart of the business, has that changed at all?
Well, technology.
Yeah.
So now the ability to really manage the stores at a different level. So, like in St. Louis, we at one time we purchased some stores from one of the dealers in St. Louis, and there was like 18, 16, 18 stores in the city of St. Louis. Now you can operate with six or eight because of two things. One is auto pay and the
Sure.
ability to people to pay online and shop online. So we were one of the first, if not the first, people that actually had a website. We did
Yeah.
online payments. So I created through our marketing company, my wife did as well, is developers that created online payment systems and shopping networks. So we were able to drop things into a marketplace that our customers aren't. They were trying to understand the client and they thought they were different than the retail. They're not.
Right.
The only difference is, they don't want to have debt. So they
Yeah.
return it if they don't want to, but two, they want to have ownership. And that's what ended up happening is that we had a lot of advancements, whether it's websites, all the marketing strategies that we have now are incredible to be able to, chase clients around and get them to put stuff in the cart and then actually check out. So we
Yeah.
watch conversions and all that stuff, which you guys do a great job of too, in your marketing team.
No, we try for sure. So it's interesting to hear you talk about a lot of those same challenges, right? And things you have to the way you have to approach business and go find customers. So today, what are some of like the big, I don't want to call them pain points, but like the areas where you're looking to improve or where are there challenges today? Like what are you facing as a rent-to-own business in 2024?
Well, I think it still goes back to the people since 20, like we will monitor turnover. We have a department that does that. We have a culture and strategy department. My daughter was in part of that right there. And that was really, luckily we did it in 2019. So it
Yeah.
really is still the number one challenge is people. So what I tried to develop with our hiring process was the same as we do in marketing. So first off, it's got to be quick. It's got to be easy. They got to get the information they want, and we got to get the rental order filled. And rent out, you got to get the rental order filled and put them in the cart and get them to check out. Same thing happens in actually the hiring of people. It can't be a long, lengthy thing. You can't click nine buttons. I mean, we've got to be engaged with them within minutes. So I have a hiring of people. So I have our own recruiters. We have our own platform. It's called ITN. It allows us to ask certain questions. We know the success rates. And just like, the marketing that you were talking about, the challenges is you got to use the dynamics of what goes on, the statistical numbers to say, if I get 100 people and I'm successful with 10 of them, is that good? I'd rather have 50 and have 20,
Right.
So, and sometimes you think more is better, but in reality, it's more has to be quality, and it's no different than the checkout process and the rent, and the carts, just like the retailers do is too. You
Yeah.
have to monitor that, and we always say, you got to get better or get out, and it's always about constantly. I think that's some of the things that we've done over the years, whether it's online payments, wireless internet. I had Radio Shacks. We always talk about failure's an event, not a person. Because we had a lot of failures. I can name all the businesses that went along, new to you, all kinds of businesses that went along. But then, like we had a company called Proof Wireless. Well, that was an internet business, but Verizon said, hey, we're bigger, better than you are. And they ended up, stomping us down. So, that continually advancement and change
Right.
is what has to happen.
No, that's awesome. And I think an important message too for no matter what type of business, what rent to own or retail to hear that kind of message delivered. On the speaking of messaging and delivering, on the marketing side, do you guys approach the way you talk about your business any differently than a traditional retailer would? Obviously, in the way customers interact with you, it's different than traditional retail. So does the is the marketing different at all in sort of the way you message about your business?
Well, it's about ownership. We're not rent to
Sure.
rent, we're rent to own. So,
Yep.
I mean, people still want to own it. Not that everybody does, but they want choices.
Yeah.
So the difference in the message that you can return it anytime, you had no long-term obligation. We take care of everything.
Yeah.
So with our clients, just like we're in the tire and wheel business too,
Yeah.
they need a way to work. So what I think our difference in our retail business opposed to the rent to own, we think of the benefits. We think of cold milk as a refrigerator. Why do we do so much business in bedding? Well, there's two reasons. Number one is that it's a great night's sleep. So if you sleep better,
Yeah.
you're going to perform better. Yeah, if you perform better, you're going to get a raise. Yeah. So we have different angles at the way that we sell. But number two, on the process that we have is that there's no hiccups. So you got to remember, if there's a hiccup, I have real people. I have client retention specialists that work just like an AT&T. You ever try to, disconnect your service? Well, we try to work on the same type of process because of the benefits. And
Right.
that's really the difference in retail and rent-to-own is that we get it back.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if they decide to bring it back, retail, hey, they sell it one time. You're a price. So
Right.
we're a cost. We don't necessarily watch the price. We watch the cost. And the cost is they don't want to have any hiccups. If they do, they got to bring it back. But if they do, that's fine.
Right.
We have reinstatement rights. I mean, where can you buy something, okay, return it, and they give you the money that you just paid in
Yeah,
6 months
right.
ago on another refrigerator? That doesn't happen, So our thing's all about the ownership. So that's really the differences between, those two or three things that are the difference between retail and rent-to-own.
Now, and you guys do end-to-end cert like service as well, right? So, from the entire experience for that customer is sort of taken care of. The second, they sign that contract with you for whatever the deal is with the product that they're getting, or and then you guys from there, it's delivery, install, service throughout, all that.
Yeah, and so that's kind of the difference. You
Yeah.
have to be able to explain, when we still give them a cash price, a retail price and stuff, it's $899. It might be $1,200 on a rent-to-own program, but along the other way is that you're paying me weekly, you're paying me monthly, however it is, but you also have that ability to still pay that $899 at any time. And in a rent-to-own program, we actually give you 50% of whatever you pay in against the retail price. So
Yeah.
it's kind of a good thing for the clients. And that's the biggest difference all from end to end, like you said, because you can't have a hiccup. So if a guy loses his job, you got to work that out. But they can talk to a trusted advisor versus a call center, after the 30 days past due. So the trick is not to be, allow the customer to get too far out of balance, because if they do, they can't make it up. And then somebody has a problem, they either want to return it. They feel bad. I mean, they
Right.
really do. Their thing is, I want to own it, Mr. Carrico. Yeah, I want
No, that's incredible. So I feel like I might know this answer because it might go back to sort of, the talk about growth and what the important areas of focus were there. But so talk about this year, 2024, right? Economy wise, it impacts us all. We hear about everything going on and people are following it. But what's the big area of focus for you this year? In terms of like, are you looking to grow, looking to improve? What are those points of focus for RentOne?
I mean, all the rent-to-own and all the retails, we all think we got the best program, we got the best people, we have the best programs for our people. But we've learned over the years. So, like I said, I had a lot of failures. So I had the Radio Shacks, had all kinds of different things that somebody else beat me out of. So what we've done this year and in the years past too as well, but we've taken our trusted advisors. Like there's a guy named Robert Teschler. So he's a F-16 pilot. So he was the one who actually teaches, our clients at our top level. We have three
Wow.
levels. We have the big top performers, then you got the guys in the middle that need some leadership skills. And then you got the guys on the bottom, the managers that are kind of up and comers, they need to know sales. So we've engaged with Cohort One, which is a Robert Teschler. We engage with those folks to train our top leaders to get better. Number two, the middle people is the leadership. They got to rent, collect, protect. They got to service the product. They got to hire people. I mean, they have a list. It's not like, when you got to have this return part and you got to take care of the service part, retailers don't have that same thing.
Right.
So we're working really hard on the leadership side, and that's our middle group. And that middle group is done by a company called ITN, and that's the people who do our training and our onboarding of our people and stuff. And then finally, the number three division, those starting people that are, lower in potential revenue, we're using those people with Dale Carnegie. So you've heard of Dale Carnegie over the years. And so whenever I first got started in the business, one of the unique things was I didn't know. I mean, I knew business, I knew a little bit. I always went to outside sources. So Zig Ziglar, Train the Trainer, and Dale Carnegie were the two things that if you went to me as a manager, if you looked at my most successful people, they had either one of two, well, they had two things. One, they had Zig Ziglar training, see you over the top. You can have everything you want in life if you help enough other people get what they want. And then you had Dale Carnegie, he was How to Win Friends and Influence People. Those folks, Carnegie, number one, not only did they help the business, okay, which is important, but they helped the family lives of the people. So the
Yeah.
people that are still sitting in the company at top positions, They went through Dale Carnegie 30 years ago, and we're
Yeah.
still using Dale Carnegie. So some things just don't wear out. But those really are the three things that we're focusing on this year to get our bottom to our middle to our top, and our top over the top.
I
So
love
those are
it.
the kind of the things that we're at right now. That's the challenge for
Yeah.
this year.
No,
That's
I
what.
love it. And again, too, like I said, it goes back to the people, which I knew. I had a feeling that's where it was. And it's awesome to hear that because at the end of the day, your business is your people. And like what they put out is as far as whether it's effort, expertise, whatever it might be, like that's at the end of the day what's gonna impact Rent One and what you guys are doing. So to see that focus is on them and helping them improve, is exciting to hear for sure. And
It's always the we used to say it's the man, not the land, but it's the people, not the place. So I have beautiful stores. I have remodel. We've been written up different catalogs and books and stuff. But in reality, I can have the greatest looking store, but if I have the wrong people behind the counter, I can bring them in, but if the people are not correct, it doesn't matter. And then I've seen the other one. I go to maybe a competitor, and well,
Sure.
he's kicking my butt. He's got holes in his carpet. He's got something else. The TV's only got 9 TVs on the shelf, and I got 20. Doesn't matter. People buy from people, and what's, and same thing with retail. I can tell you that your most successful retailers are the guys who have, they have
Good
tenure.
people.
They've been here for 5, 6, 7. Turnover is the killer. But how do you do that in today's age? It's been pretty tough.
It sure has been. That might be a whole nother episode, but no,
Exactly.
we got I wanted to close it on this important talk because it goes back to people, right? And examples are set from the top, and I think some of the recent things you guys have been doing, and as far as the foundation's concerned, and Great Expectations Foundation, and sets a great example, right, for your people to see sort of the way you guys have been giving back of late. And I know one story. We'll dive into it in the specific story with Ronald McDonald House, but talk about those give back efforts and the nexus for them and how they come about and why it's important to you as a business owner to take this approach and do something to give back.
Yeah, so when you think about giving, tithing, whatever, you don't even realize how it starts. But I guess you remember when you were a kid what happened. So mom and dad, mom worked at the concession stand at the Quarry League Field. Dad took care of the fields, but I didn't think much about that until I got older. And then I began to kind of work things in. I kind of went from there and didn't really think much about tithing. How I was just being able to pay the bills. And when I moved to Mount Vernon from Muscle Shoals, when we bought some stores in Mount Vernon, Illinois, and that began our corporate headquarters, someone asked, and this is probably the most important thing that I'll say today, is that you gotta ask people if you want them to help. And the Kiwanians of all groups, you got the Rotaries, the Kiwanians, the Lions, all these guys, they asked me to talk about my business. I talked about my business. Well, there was an ulterior motive. One was, hey, they did want to hear about my business, but they needed workers. So not only did I become start in the, we call it, time temp, you give time, you give away your a treasure, and you give away those three things, the time, treasures, and what ended up happening was that I gave away a lot of my time doing things, of course, you're always looking for the treasure. And how do you get to that particular point? It's you got to ask. And so that started that. We began the whole process. And then Ronald McDonald House, the reason we, teamed up and partnered with them was we were on all the parameters of St. Louis. And what we kept asking our coworkers was, how come, Ronald, how do you get the, why are you going there? And I called a guy named Dan Harbaugh down and said, hey, we can help them out at the house. And that's because they were on the outside. They weren't charities in my individual communities. But Great Expectation began and started for two reasons. Number one was because we wanted a concise way of doing it. But number two was that we match everybody's money. So our what starts the whole thing is we ask people to raise their hand. I said, look, you want to help? And they did. They gave $1 a week. We do it all out of payroll deduct. And then Sharon and I, my wife, matches that dollar. And then the companies, whether it's R&R or Rent One, we match it. So every dollar they give, you get, a $3 bill that goes to the charity of choice. And now we do it in all 100 communities that we have based upon need.
Yeah,
It's
that's
kind of.
awesome. That's incredible stuff. And I know, Nationwide has its own give back efforts, and it's exciting to see, especially at, a show like Primetime, where I know in the past we've had like the meal packings, and to watch everyone come together and you know, take part in that and like knowing the impact it has. It does a lot to the people, right? Again, it comes back to the people and seeing that impact that you can have. And I know just like what that can do to a culture within a company as well, and the importance there. So it really kind of ties everything back together in a nice way. And you mentioned Ronald McDonald House. You guys just recently too. I know you got together with our own John Lang here at Nationwide and the team at LG. So talk about that and what was behind those efforts.
Well, actually, when we first got invited, again, we got to remember to ask. So kids went to school at where they went to school. Is one of the guys was there. He's a banker. And he said, Larry, we have a need at Ronald McDonald House. We have these new family rooms, these long-term apartments that need TVs. Would you be willing to donate them? So I donated those TVs. That's how they hooked me in. So it's kind of strange that after 25 years that I've been working with Ronald McDonald House, is now we're doing their brand new house, you know.
That's awesome.
A $34 million yeah. project.
Wow.
And we're supplying all the TVs for them with the help of you guys too as well, which is incredible. So it started with TVs. I hope it's not ending with TVs, but it's that continuation or that journey.
All right. This is not a full circle moment here. It's just like continuing. The line is going on. It just happens it's a nice way to bring it all back around again. So.
I was thinking about that. And I said, oh, this is incredible.
No, that is. And it is. And I know, obviously, I'm sure they, you know, appreciate the efforts and everything that it means to them. And then, of course, too, the team at Rent One sees it, and I'm sure it impacts them as well in a way that some might tell you, some, you know, it'll just be one of those things they realize. And it's like, man, that's just cool to be a part of, right? To be a part of the team that's doing this. And, you know, and who would have thought back in 1985 with one store down there in Alabama that this is what it is today.
and the last thing, kind of, you know, one of the things to talk about would be the making sure that people share the information. So that's not any good to do all this. And people are kind of both ways. They want to be anonymous. Some don't. But I really do believe that it sparks other people to donate because it's making good, just like the podcast we're doing today and all the other things that we do. We want to make sure that we tell our friends and our coworkers especially.
Absolutely. Well, hey, and if we can play one small part in that and help and share that story, you know, more than happy to do so. And appreciate you, you know, having the opportunity and or giving us that opportunity and having the time to do it. So we really appreciate it. And, you know, I look forward to catching up again. You know, this was a lot of fun. So
I'd love to tell John we appreciate him. And the whole team over there as well.
Maybe we'll do a little podcast crossover. What do you think?
maybe we'll have you on our podcast. You get my daughter, Kelly. Gosh, it's fun. Her and Dusty get on the thing, and they just go crazy. I mean, they have a great time. So it could be a follow-up after we load all these TVs.
I am all for it. No, that's fantastic. So we appreciate the time, and like I said, look forward to doing it again soon.
All right, man. Thanks, Ron. Appreciate you. Thanks.
Awesome. And thanks again to Larry. Like I said, just an incredible story and at the end of the day, a humble guy to be able to sit down and talk with and pick his brain and learn so much about how he's navigated the rent-to-own space and I can't even stress enough, he did it quite a bit during the interview, but to put the emphasis on his people and building a team that has enabled Rent One to be successful and you know, finding individuals that can buy into what they're doing and how they're going about selling and you know, offering their product up for rent to own to their customers, and just an incredible journey that he took us on through not just the history of the company, but on this podcast. So we appreciate it. Appreciate him taking that time and look forward to doing it again with him. But as always, we appreciate you listening to the Independent Thinking Podcast, and we'll catch you next time.